Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Connection with the new members joining the church that will actually be a great reminder for us all today. And I'm going to call today's message, many of you take notes and you ask, so I'm going to tell you, the local church in you. The local church in you. Amen. Praise God. You know, among the many things that we teach in the new members class, one of those things or some of those things are how important the local church is to every believer and how important every believer is back to the local church. And I want to talk about those things this morning as a great reminder for us all. It was once said, you've heard me say this many times, great churches have great committed people. Amen. And you are those people. And I'm so grateful. A lot of times people ask, what do you attribute the success of ministry to? And I just say, well, number one, we have a great God. And number two, we have great committed people. Look at your neighbor and say, you're one of those. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, hallelujah. You know, as individuals, we need to understand that everything that God does to us, He wants to do through us. And many times, we can have many aspirations, and we think things ought to be different, this, that, the other. But one of the things I want to encourage people to do is be the change you want to see. Amen. And so, one of the ways we do this is understanding how involvement, how your individual involvement, how your part in this local church is really so important. We all know John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world. You know, God loved you so much that He sent His only Son. And in revealing His plan of salvation for the entire world, He also revealed His divine plan for every believer's life, part of which is being part of a strong local church. Can I get an amen? You know, that really should not be a surprise to any Bible student, because Jesus said for the last 2,000 years that He has been building His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is what Jesus has been doing, at least in part, according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Notice He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Jesus has been doing this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And when we talk about His church, we need to understand what He meant by His church. So let's talk about, this is a Greek word, ekklesia, and it actually means people. It means the body of Christ. A great example of this, best definition, may be found in the Word of God itself in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Let's look there together. Ephesians 1, 22, and it put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So the church, the real church, is the body of Christ. And so the real church isn't this building. The real church is people. It's the body of Christ. It's those that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. That's how they become part of the body of Christ. That's how we become part of the body of Christ when we're saved. When we invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life, then we become part of the body of Christ. We all get it when we say, well, I'm going to church today. But do we really get it to understand that it's really a living organism? It's not a building in itself. It is a body. And with Christ being the head and we being parts that are exercising God's authority in this earth, God needs a body to operate in this earth. That's how authority and His works is done. He's in heaven and we're in the earth. This word ekklesia is translated as well as church as the word congregation, and is the word assembly in the Bible. So let's talk about this really briefly, but add a few more meanings to it. The greater meaning of church is, you could say, it means called out ones. chosen ones. How many know you are called by God? You're invited to be a part of His family. You're chosen by God. That's how important you are to Him. Amen. In His church, the word church or ecclesia actually means called out to listen to and obey. And that's what it actually means. Not only is it called out ones and chosen ones, but we're actually, it has the idea of we're called out to listen to and obey. This is why we assemble. This is why the word church also means assembly, because there is assembly required. When we come together, we make the strongest impact. Amen. And so we're not island unto ourselves. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Amen. And so we understand we are the Lord's, and He wants us to understand the significance of the body of Christ. And one of the significant things is we actually come to, like on this morning, we come to listen to and obey the Lord. In other words, it's a place we come to get marching orders. So in other words, it's more than we just come and sit on and get what we can, what we get. When we get what we get, it was designed to motivate us to go do something with what we got. Hallelujah. And know how to live in this life. It also means called by and to Christ in fellowship of His salvation. That's why, notice everybody say fellowship. In fellowship of His salvation, God wants us to fellowship one with another. We are members in particular, connected one to another. Notice all my parts are connected today. So are yours in your body. They're all connected. Praise the Lord. And so there is assembly required. You know, once we're saved and we become a believer and we're part of the body of Christ, the church, we realize that there is one church, but it's made up of the universal church. You know, the people in Africa is just as much the church that we are here in America. Amen. If we've made Jesus the Lord of our life. So we understand this, that we become part of the universal church. But let me just tell you something. But without the local church, the universal church is only a theory in your life. Because the local church helps you to flesh out the reality of actually being the church. So instead of saying, well, you know what, I'm part of the church. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But being a part of a local church helps you connect with other believers so that instead of being a theory only, the application is I'm together and I'm working together for a cause and the cause of Christ, and greater things can happen. The local church makes the things of God a reality in our life and is your direct and my direct living connection to the rest of the body of Christ in a real and a life-giving way, and we need that. I need you, you need me. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor, and he said, that's the truth. Amen. See, this is the local church and you. Ecclesia, the word for church, is used 117 times in the New Testament, 90 times to a public local assembly. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you know there's seven letters written to the churches of Asia Minor. Jesus specifically addressed seven specific local assemblies, showing His love, approval, care, and direction for local churches. I think about the great Saul. We know Apostle Paul, but you know, we find that he was Saul of Tarsus. He got saved. He was still Saul. In Acts chapter 13, we see somewhere there he's changed to Paul. Amen. The Paul, the great apostle. I think about how the scripture tells us that he received direct revelation of the gospel he preached from Jesus Christ. He met Him face to face. And received the New Testament. Over half of the New Testament we have today was given by direct inspiration. He called it my gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, directly by the Apostle Paul. Yet we find the Apostle Paul was connected to the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And it was there that actually the Holy Ghost launched him out to the work that God had prepared and called him to do. But it was by being attached to a local church that he was actually, it was confirmed, and he was actually sent out by the Holy Ghost. Amen. He could have very well have said, look at me. I have a great ministry. Jesus appeared to me. I don't need nobody, but I got Jesus is all I need. Well, let me tell you something. All you need, listen, all you need for your salvation is Jesus Christ, true. But it is not true that is all you need for your discipleship. You need the local church and the body of Christ. You know why? Because God made it that way. And I'm going to show you that as the Word of God. Obviously, Jesus Christ is the one who's pouring through, is done right through the local church. Through a pastor and through other leaders and through the fivefold ministry gifts. You see that. But it's fleshed out in a local assembly. And we see this. We find in every missionary journey that the Apostle Paul took, he helped strengthen, encourage, and grow local churches. Hallelujah. You know what is so important? And I think about this. Jesus said, here's what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years. At least in part, I build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And think about this. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus Christ is building. Can I get an amen? You know, what are the gates of hell? It's the powers of darkness. Gates represent power and authority. But God has given his church authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. But we got to know it, and we got to believe it. Listen to what other couple translation says, where it says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Berkeley translation says, and the gates of hell shall not hold out against her, the church. In other words, we're an advancing army. We're not just occupying to it. We're advancing, bless God. We're not holding the fort. Hallelujah. Another translation, the New English Bible says, and the forces of death shall never overpower the church. Hallelujah. I like to say it like this. Why is the local church so important to our life? I know I'm talking fast. And I know I'm saying a lot. But you're listening really quick today. And you're getting it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're getting it. Because you're a part of the local church. Praise the Lord. The local church, it's so important. This is a definition that I use. It's original to me, but I'm sure it's not original just to me. But the local church is like a school you go to relearn how to live again. And you don't graduate until you die. That means as long as we live, we need to be connected to a strong local church, a life-giving church. Because in that place, the life of Christ that God has for us is going to be developed, known and developed and lived out through us if it's done right. In that place of a strong local church, you'll find out who you are, your identity. Let me tell you something. If you don't know who you are, you'll be anybody else. But I can tell you, the world is looking for identity. You're going to find true identity in Christ. So in a local church, you will find out who you are in Christ, identity, what you have in Christ, inheritance. Everybody wants something. Pastor William alluded to it. We want the end result, but do we want the means to get us there? Faith is a big part of how we get everything. God gave everything by his grace, but it's that faith that accessed that great grace. See, it's unearned favor. We can't earn salvation. We can't earn anything from God. But what God is he is a respecter of faith. And then we find out not only who we are, and we have to have faith in that, we find out what our inheritance is. You find out week in and week out what belongs to you. And it's your faith that possesses that. Make no mistake about it. Many people will leave and say, well, if that was true, why don't I have it? Well, salvation actually belongs to the whole world, but why don't they have it? Because they got to repent of the sin and receive it. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And you say, well, why don't I have my healing? Because you got to receive it. You got to believe that it's yours, but God has given that inheritance and you have to possess it. And every Sunday you come to the reading of the will, so you are reminded, bless God, that your enemy, the devil, is not going to have his way in you, your family, your neighbors, or no one. You say no more in Jesus' name. Also, you find out it's a place where you learn what you can do, the power to live this life. I mean, tell you, faith has action. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you have power to live this life. You find out the power that it belongs to you. Amen. So this speaks of at least in part, the work of the fivefold ministry in the local church. And we're going to look today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And especially we're talking about the local church. We're talking about a pastor is the head of a local church. He is not, I am not to be your master, but I can be your pastor. See, a real pastor is not trying to be your master. He does have to set direction. He does have to be firm sometimes. He has to make decisions that are always popular. But in by the grace of God, he has to do it according to the Word of God. Amen. And the things about it is that we it's a purpose of why every local church should have a God-called, an ordained pastor. When I say God called, this is not a job for me. This is not what I was looking to do. Come on. This is not what I was looking to do. I was on my way to hell and didn't know it. I was love hunting and fishing. I was love doing my own thing. I was love doing all those things until I met Jesus and found out that I was no more than lost and that I was an idol worshiper. Now, nobody wants to hear that, but when anything's before Jesus, you are one. But he changed my life in 1986 and minding my own business, trying to find out who he made me and what he's done in my life and me worshiping him and loving him and me connected to a strong local church called Cornerstone Fellowship Church. At that place, I met the head of the church who directs the gifts that he gives in the church. And he said, this is what I want you to do. That wasn't my choice. It was his choice. And I'm just obeying him today. So he gave. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. They're gifts. So you know what? How we treat the gifts is how we receive from the gifts. Now, I know that sounds self-serving, but really how we honor and treat the gift is it determines how we receive the gift. If I'm no more than Joe Blow, then bless God, I'm Joe Blow, and I'm not trying to puff myself up. But you're going to be limited on what you actually can receive because you just see me as any old Tom, Dick, and Harry. You see me as no different than the person down here. But there's going to come a time that you need faith and you're going to need help. And you better believe and know that God has anointed this man and woman and other men and women in this church to be able to pray and minister to you so you can receive what God has for you. These are the gifts that God gave to the church. First apostles, second prophets, then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Everybody say pastors. He gave all five, but because the local church, the pastor is the head of the local church. So he did this for this purpose. God did this. Jesus, this is Jesus' plan. Look what he said in verse 12. Verse 12 said, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to do God's work, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. We talked about this extensively yesterday. And what I want to remind us of is today, the beautiful thing about this is that, in other words, it is my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. I'm going to say that again. It's my job to teach you to do the work of the ministry. That, in other words, it's my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do and to be effective at it. So what do you mean by that, Pastor Chris? It's my job to teach you to read your Bible. It's my job to teach you to pray. I can't do it for you. It's my job to witness, to teach you how to witness, to win the lost, to be a disciple, and ultimately to serve in the kingdom of God. It's my job to help teach. That's the part of the local church. And when you become that, when you grow in that, when you do that, it's called the equipping of the saints. The equipping of God's people. No, we're going to talk more about that. To do his work. This is the work that God has called us to do. And to build up the church, the body of Christ. You know what? When you are equipped, when you are trained, you know what the result is? The whole church is built up. There ain't no lack in this ministry, no lack in that ministry. There's no lack here. There's no lack there. People are raised up and the whole body is served. And your increase is somebody else's blessing. You rising up and being equipped and being trained and you actively serving, amen, you are actually building up the church. The church will be as strong as you are built up in and you build it up. Praise God. That's you, and that's the local church in you. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin, in response to a great question that was asked him. He went home to be with the Lord in 2003, but he played a tremendous part in our discipleship and our spiritual growth and the foundation that we have on in our life today. They asked him in 2003, but he went home to be then in the last few years of his life, in his late 80s, they were asking him, he said, what is God doing in the earth today? He said, I can tell you what God is doing in the earth today. God is building strong local churches that's flowing with the Word and the Holy Spirit. So God wants us to be people of the Word and people of the Holy Ghost. He don't want us to be, he wants us to be people of the Word, and he wants us to be people of the Holy Spirit. The Word is God talking to us. So if we want to know what God says, we have to look no further than the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit is the author of that Word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. So if you really want to know the meaning of that, you need the Holy Ghost to come along and just teach us and to bring revelation knowledge of this Word. Because the letter kills. You can read it as the letter. It just kills. There's no life to it. But the Spirit brings life. So the Spirit brings the life and the revelation of the Word of God. So you and I have a real understanding of what that Word is. And we can't, you know, this is a Spirit-filled church. We're not afraid. We don't apologize that we speak in tongues. We don't apologize that somebody might run, dance, shout. We don't apologize for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't apologize that people can get healed and freed. And we're not apologizing that there's people that may have demons and may have sicknesses and diseases and may have problems and addictions that Jesus wants to free. We don't apologize that sometimes things don't go orderly and everything's perfect, and that there may be a little spill or might be a mess somewhere because life is messy, but Jesus shows up to clean it all up through his church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what I want to do really quick is something to remind us that we have what is called 8 vision values. I have this little in my Bible. I say this little, bookmark, praise the Lord, that actually has vision of the church, mission, goal. It has our growth steps, what we'll talk about in just one moment, and it has the 8 vision values on the back. These 8 vision values, let me just talk about them really quick because I'm reminding everybody about them. Why are these important? Because, let me ask you this. I saw some people automatically turn right to their Bible and pull it up. How many got one of these? Let me see the hands. Don't be embarrassed if you don't. You got, okay. Well, if you don't, they're at the info center. And you can use them as a bookmark, and you can, but they're supposed to be more than a bookmark. They're tools to learn. You're going to find what we believe, how we believe, and how do we work out this together. So in other words, these 8 vision values, we'll hold high. So I don't really have time to read all them. There's 8 of them. But let me talk about something. I'm going to talk about 3 of them in just one moment. So why do we call them vision values? Because, listen to me, is everybody listening to me? Stop looking at that, just look at me for a moment. Values, I know we got that up, and I told them put it up, but we don't have time to read them all, so you can read them all later. Why do we call them vision values? Because values are beliefs that form behaviors in our lives, specific behaviors. Values are beliefs that form behavior in our lives. And these 8 vision values, these 8 values become beliefs that unify us as a church in our behavior, in our actions, on the way to accomplishing a God-given vision, which is to win and disciple people to Christ. It keeps us all on the same page. Amen. This is why it's important. Why is that important? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, look at what it says here. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but you be perfectly joined together the same mind and the same judgment. If you are a student of the Bible, you will find that in 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is answering questions that the church had. He has a whole list of questions. But before he answered any question that the church was directing back to him, you know what he dealt with? He dealt with vision. Actually, he not only dealt with vision, but in dealing with vision, he dealt with division. Because he knew the greatest threat to the will of God being done in a local church is division. And the way to change that is through vision, that you all speak the same thing, what God said, and that you there be no division among you, that you perfectly joined together, the same mind and same judgment. Well, our vision values helps us have the same beliefs, that we have the same behaviors on the way of accomplishing our vision, which is to win and disciple people to Christ. It unifies us in our behaviors, our beliefs. Amen. Praise God. And so I want to talk about the first three we will look at really quick. As a church, the first three, vision value number one, as a church, we will hold high God's word as our standard. This is why I'm a stickler for the word. Amen. And we will. And as services, unless the Holy Spirit says something different, by the direction of the we got the direction of the Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God. And we'll hold high God's Word as our standard. Not my standard, not your standard, God's standard, His Word. Number two, as a church, we'll seek and desire the genuine move of the Holy Ghost. That means God wants there be a moving of His Spirit where believers... Hallelujah, this is not all that it means. I don't have time to teach all that it means. I don't know if I know all that it means because it's so big. But one thing is it means He wants every believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And every believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost to be being filled. He wants the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit to be in operation in church and in our personal lives. And then number three, that's going to happen because as a church, we will make personal and corporate growth a priority. Amen. So here's something. When you stop learning, everybody paying attention to me? When you stop learning, in one sense, you're already died. You just don't know it. Come on. We'll make personal and corporate growth a priority. I don't have time to unpack all these, but it's important. We come together and we're learning. We make personal and corporate growth a priority. Yes, we're supposed to learn to spend time with God alone. Woo! We got to, bless God. Hallelujah. But we also got to do it together. Because God designed the local church to be a place where a pastor can speak into your life. Because you know what? It's like a daddy to his children. Your parents... Parents are going to tell their children to do some things their children do not want to do or will not do without proper instruction, like eat vegetables, like behave themselves, like don't run through that store and go through the clothes like a windmill. Praise God. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I know I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. So we learn some things together because I can just tell you, God, by His Holy Spirit, loves us so much to keep us from to stay where we're at. And I'm going to say it again. When you stop learning, in one sense, you're already died. You just don't know it. The local church, this is why we have to continue to grow. This is why it's so important to come. Sometimes people say, amen, they got all the excuses. But I can tell you, if you can hear the word, faith can come. If you can hear the word, faith can come. And you can position yourself that you're hearing the word, faith can come and you can grow. Can I get an amen? So the local church was designed to stretch you. Look at your neighbor and say, oh my, praise the Lord. To stretch you, to challenge you. And it's like, as they heard yesterday, this word here, hallelujah, where it says to equip the saints. I know we got this idea of grand. It's just all going to be lovely and wonderful. But it actually is the same word that means to set a bone in place. In other words, we come in church and we're not perfect. We're not even pretty. We look like we need to go to the emergency room because our arm has been broke and our bone is stuck out like this. But a good emergency room is going to set that bone in place so that arm can heal, so the whole body can be strong. And that's what the word equip means. It means to set a bone in place, but it also means to mend a net. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know something about fishing and about nets. I'm not an expert, but I know this. God said this. Jesus said, every disciple that follow me
follow me and I'll make you something. You know what he said? A fisher of men. And a net was designed to catch fish. So the mending of the net, the local church, through the teaching and the preaching of God's word, your life got big holes in it. Your net got holes in it. And there's all kind of harvest that's going around you and you can't catch nair thing. But God said, as you send in the service and you hear the word and the Holy Ghost is working, your net is mending. You are being fixed and made whole, so that your life can catch the harvest that God designed your life to catch. Can I get an amen? Your life. Your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Personal learning, yes, we need that. But we also must learn together to keep us moving in the same direction. One of the things that people got to remember, are you hearing, you may be serving in the ministry, but are you hearing your pastor's voice? Because you need to be moving in the same direction with the rest of the congregation. You can't hear that. You can't do that without hearing the pastor's voice. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's talk about this one moment. Vision. Why are we here? I'm almost finished. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Praise the Lord. He's almost finished. Hallelujah. And look at your other neighbor and say, that don't mean nothing. Praise the Lord. I'm just playing. Vision. Why are we here, church? Tell me why we're here. Win and disciple people to Christ. Hallelujah. That's everyone's assignment, and we're really learning how as part of the equipping. We can sit there and say, oh, that's not for me. I know for a lot of times we think a lot of things I talk about, we put that off on everybody else. Oh, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's it. That can't be me, because look at me. I've got this, and the devil's convinced you because of where you're at in life and what's happened to you in life that God must have made a mistake. But God ain't made no mistake, because he sees beyond where you're at. He sees who you are in Christ. He's seen that the power of the blood of Jesus has forgiven you, cleansed you, made you brand new. And the Holy Ghost has come to fill you in order to do the will of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we're learning this is everyone's assignment. So we have a simple, and we're going to put this is going to be really quick, but this is important. We have a simple way to disciple you and your whole family. It's called grow. And there's 7 steps to grow. I don't have time to unpack them all today, but to come to church is the first thing. You know, it's impossible for God to shepherd sheep. It's impossible for any local church to shepherd sheep that don't stay in the fold. Don't ever come to church. Selah. Meditate on that one for a moment. You know, and listen, I'm not trying to be mean. Here's what I'm really trying to say. Come to church. I'm not talking about coming to church to have perfect attendance, like you have some kind of reward system for perfect attendance. I'm talking about the reason we want you to come to church. Yes, we want every church, every seat filled. Look around. How many seats have we got empty? Is this a number of seats empty? But we want them all filled. Why? Here's why. Because we want to teach people how to be the church. Because when you learn how to be who you were designed to be, oh my God, you are. You know, I just think about a lot of times, you got so much potential. You know what potential is? It's who you are. You just ain't been it yet. It's what you can do. You just ain't done it yet. And I know there's a lot of people. They got like a 3500 truck, okay? You bought a 3500 truck because there was something built in that truck that can pull and handle some weight. You didn't do that to just drive your wife back and forth to the grocery store every week. Bless God, you get a Volkswagen for that, and it's nothing matter with a Volkswagen. You save gas, it has a specific purpose. But I can tell you, God has built some things in you. He's trying to reveal his potential, and you ain't pulling. Listen, all you're doing with a lot, all we're doing with a lot of our life is just going to the grocery store, so to speak. When God says, I got some heavy pulling, I built in you everything it's going to take to do what I called you to do in Christ. And the local church helps to reveal, unfold, and reveal that potential. The sum total of who you are, you just ain't been it yet. It's everything you can do, you just ain't done it yet. That's what potential is. Hallelujah. And so this is why we want you to come to church. Participate in special ministries. Join the church. I think about the people that joined the church today. Start serving on a team. Come to grow trainings, which this could be a grow training. Lead and mentor a team and expand and disciple the church. In other words, expand and disciple, we do everything with the end in mind. And that is to expand and disciple the church. That means the same thing, win and disciple people to Christ. Let me give you a good example of this. Just recently, I looked at the new members class. It's July, isn't it? In July of 2023, there's a couple in this church. It was a whole group that joined that. It was like 32 people that joined that week, okay? Last year, that week, okay? And so that don't make this class this year any less. But two of those people have been coming to this church like, say, 6 months or a little bit better. Family members invited them. They came. They fell in love with the church. They were here every time the doors open. Bless God. This man works hard, hot, sweaty every day. Come in Wednesday night. Do all the. And then they decided in July of 2023 to join this church. Soon as they joined the church, you know, they took their next steps. They started serving on a team. They got involved, both of them. Thank God, great ushers. Just heart to do whatever. And then, as they move on, notice number 6, lead and mentor team. The door of opportunity opened, and they were invited to take over a position and leaders on a team. A department head, that is so important. Why? Because that serves the church. Amen. It don't just serve them, it serves the church. They understood that. This progression works. John and Christy, you're those two people. Yeah. And I congratulate you. That the process works when we work it. And we could go down the line and say over and over again, people that have done this process, but it was designed, grow was designed to grow you and your family, disciple you and your family, so that you understand you have a part in the kingdom of God. You have something to add to the kingdom. And all the time, listen, you know how you add to the kingdom? You add to this church. That's not the only way, but as you're involved here, you're adding to, as you add to the church, you're adding to the kingdom. This church is building the kingdom. Ain't building its own thing. It's building the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Remember, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you something. What did he say? I'll make you fishers of men. So God's plan is the local church where you learn to do evangelism and discipleship. And you know what I'm all for? Having organized groups. We don't have any. I'm all for it. Listen. Have an organized group and go out door to door and knock. And I've done those things and all that. I'm not against any of that. But what I am saying, that it's my job to teach you lifestyle evangelism in a way with which you understand and you have the tools to equip you to go out in your everyday life, whether at work, play, or wherever you're at, and win and disciple people to Christ. See, this is what's needed, that every believer understand. Every believer understands this is our responsibility. Not just the pastors. It's every person's responsibility. And the truth is, the sooner you learn it and start doing it, even before you feel like you're able to. Oh my, I think about the times I got pushed out and things that I didn't think I was ready for, but I just acted on the Word of God and God met me there, and God will still meet every person when you act on His Word. Come on. All right, so it's the plan. Discipleship, part of that is the training and equipping to do the work of the ministry. That would include evangelism. That would include you winning people to Christ. That would include you helping to disciple and grow in Christ yourself. Grow in Christ yourself and disciple other people in Christ. Discipleship provides the needed maturing to the place where believers can reproduce their Christian faith in others. This removes the burden of evangelism on a few individuals and a few mass crusades. I'm all for evangelists and a few individuals and mass crusades. I'm all for that. We support people that do that. But if we as the church think that was God's sole plan of winning the world, we dismissed it because He wants to use us all. Their job was to equip us so we can do the work of the ministry. Oh, I'm preaching real good right now. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. If one man led 1,000 people to the Lord each year, in 35 years, they would have had 35,000 converts through their ministry. And we would applaud that. Wouldn't we applaud that? We'd applaud that. We'd say, that's wonderful. That person won
35,000 people to Christ. Everybody say, winning disciple. Okay, however, if the same man only led one person to the Lord every 6 months and then discipled those converts so they could share their faith as he does, in 10 years, he would have 1,048,576 converts. In 15 years in this process, he would have evangelized over 1 billion people and just over in just over 16 years, he would have evangelized the present population of the world. See, Jesus' plan of evangelism and discipleship is best, where each one reaches one. I'm here today to tell you, you can do it, bless God. If I can do it, you can do it. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me. Blessed be God forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, we rejoice today in all those that join the church. But you know what? It should be a celebration for us all. It is a reminder of what God is doing in this place, but also doing because you're here. Brother Tim, when you were taking care of your wife and you were missing off stage, you not only missed it, but we missed it, my brother. Praise God, didn't we, church? Because we feel strength in that. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that nobody knows about. But brother, let me just tell you something. When you committed to be part of the Stephen Ministries, Stephen Ministry here at this church and minister to people as an extension of pastoral care, people don't see every week that you go an hour or more every week somewhere and minister to someone and their family that needs a touch from Jesus Christ. You do that in the name of Jesus on behalf of your pastor and on behalf of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this church. Nobody might not see that, but I can tell you, I see the people that you minister to, and they're here today. They're praising the Lord today, and they got obstacles and they got all the kind of things. And you know what? The reason I'm saying that, because nobody may come up to you and say, "Oh, good job, brother," but I can just tell you, Jesus sees it, and the church is being built. The church is being strengthened. Blessed be God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brian, I see all these. I remember when you used to come, you and your wife now, used to come to the Healing Center years ago. Amen. And you work in the shipyard. I remember talking to you one day at a hot parking lot out there. You're getting ready to go on your motorcycle, get ready to leave the Healing Center to go to work. And I talked to you about your life and about different things. I know this. I am thankful that you and your wife not only surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, but you and your wife are here. She's serving in the ministry of the Healing Center team, and you and the usher. You've been a great asset and a great addition. And people, not only your pastor's help, but people are help. Can I get amen in here today? I don't know. I ain't got much to give. Oh, don't fool yourself. If the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, if God lives on this side. See, I talked about this yesterday, and I'll close with this. Most people don't. That, you know what? This is the other part that is so good about the local church. Because you know what happens in life? Your life is, you got hidden treasures all in it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "As every man received the gift, even so minister one to another as a manifold as stewards of God by the manifold grace of God." As every man received a gift, the word gift there means endowment, some miraculous faculty. And see, here's the thing. Without coming to the local church, I can tell you the devil talks out of us of everything. We'll sit there without having a strong voice in your life and to remind you the truth of God's word and the Holy Ghost. Then what we do is we back up. We at least put ourselves in neutral, and then the devil pushes us back because we don't want to. The devil will try to talk us out of the gifts, talents, and abilities. But see, here's what happens in life. Life, it cloudies like we're the mud puddle. But I can just tell you, when you start coming to a local church, what God does is says, "Hey, let me tell you something. The devil just wants you to tell you that you're just a few things right here on the top, and it's all clouded."
And God can't use that. But I want you to know, here's what God does. God comes in with the heavy equipment. He takes the excavator, the earth-moving equipment. He goes down deep, and he pulls all the dirt out, blessed God. So one day you open up and you just say, oh my God, look what God has done in my life. Look what God has given me. And you rise up, and it doesn't give you the big head. It makes you worship God and say, God, such as I have, give I to thee. Come on, to you be the glory. To you be the praise. Hallelujah. And God, I'll just serve you as a humble servant. That's what I see week in and week out. Don't ever let the devil tell you, oh, nobody's going to miss you when you don't come. You know, the first person going to miss you is me. Because I need Jesus and the Holy Ghost more than anything. But don't think we don't need one another. Because it sure would be pretty boring to preach to empty chairs. Because you are the treasure hid in the field. You are the pearl of great price. Come on. And I can tell you everything that God has ever done to you. I saw you this week. Oh, innocent, just in here, nobody ever knows. But you were crazy back there with those kids this week. Hallelujah. And that's not what you do all the time. You were just there. You were what a great support and a great help you are. Amen. And encouragement. Come on, put your hands together for them. Devil tried to kill you in a motorcycle accident. Laying dead, they thought. People talking. Here's was his testimony. I can't do it justice, but we don't have time for him to stand up and tell it. We'll be here all day. You thought I was long-winded. Just playing with you, brother. Amen. Come on. Listen, I'm going to give you the short version. They thought he was dead. They thought he was dead. They given up for dead. A motorcycle accident. Totaled everything. Broken all up. He said, I heard people say, I think he's dead. He's not going to make it. Oh, my God. This man is dying. This man. And here's what he said to me, Pastor Chris, in tears. Thank you for teaching us how to win people to Christ. Because he says, not one person, I think about it often, not one person stood around me that day and said, oh, my God, he's still alive. Now, listen, you can hear my voice. You might not be able to respond to me, but say in your heart, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus loves you and he wants you saved. Pray this prayer with me in your heart so you can know that you make heaven your home, because it looks like you're dying. Pray this with me. He said, not one person. All I heard was people saying negative things. He's dying. He's dead. He said, thank you, Pastor Chris, for teaching us how to win people to Christ, because I know what to do. God's healed your body, raised you up. And you're an important part of this ministry. Thank you. Thank you. Now, in closing, I say this. If you're part of this church, all of you are a very important part of this ministry. Our missionaries think so. And you should know so. Okay? Now listen. I'm closing. But what if you're not a part of this church? Let me rephrase that. Wonder if you're not, because it's not as important that you're part of this church, even though we'd like you to be. What if you're not a part of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ? See, people could join a church like they did today. Church membership don't save you. All these people are saved. They planned it here so they can grow and use their giftedness to advance the kingdom of God. And we thank you. We're thankful for their lives. But we're at a place in the service today that it's not about all the people that we had been praising. God wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to know you're important to him. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, the only reason I believe that a lot of people never make Jesus the Lord of their life is because they don't know they're supposed to. They're like me. They don't know they're supposed to, or they don't know how. Or they feel like God don't love them because they've done too many bad things. Let me tell you something, honey. Everything that you've ever done wrong, God already knows, and he still loves you. Because he is love, just like Pastor Williams says. He doesn't have love for you. He is love. He doesn't love what we do, but he knows this. If he can get the sinner, which you and I were, to Christ, because Christ is the mediator between God and man, the biggest gap, oh, I'm going to preach it one day. The biggest gap in the world is the gap between God and man.
And Jesus Christ became the mediator to make the bridge so that we who are lost can be saved, can be found. That is what God is inviting you to, a relationship with Him, so that you too can find who God made you. He designed you. He's calling you today. If you never made Him the Lord of your life, I invite you to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just one moment. I invite you to pray this prayer. Repent of your sins and invite Him to your heart and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, because in following Him, He's going to make you somebody. He's going to make you who you were designed to be by God. Not by man, not by your mama, not by somebody else, not by a corporation, but by God. And that's where true fulfillment is going to come. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.